Welcome into the P2W Fantasy Podcast. This podcast is partnered up with the Fantasy Points Media Group, which is a branch of fantasypoints.com. It's a one-stop shop for everything fantasy football you are looking for. Articles, projections, and rankings, DFS. There is a community Discord. Some of the best analysts in the industry are analysts for Fantasy Points. So go check it out today. Use a promo code P2W22 for a discount. This will be the starts of the week seven show. Let's kick this off.
No fear to give, I feel what I can't forgive. I go all in this time, yeah, I won't regret. I'll pick the best on trip, they don't understand. I play to win, yeah, I play to win. I play to win, yeah, yeah, I play to win. I play to win, oh, play to win. I play to win, yeah, yeah, I play to win. I play to win.
So this is the start show that I do on a weekly basis. I'm going to apologize in advance. I sound like Batman or some sort of a villain with this voice. I just coached a playoff game yesterday for the varsity soccer program that I run, and I have no voice. Had some like chest congestion going on and just yelling in that game the entire time. Lost the voice, but we walked away with a major upset in double overtime and PKs against a school that had double the amount of wins that we had. So well worth it. Losing the voice. I didn't want to go live just in case like my voice completely shut off. And then I'm just looking at, you know, Twitter live with no words coming out, but that was an awesome experience. And we advanced to the second round of the playoffs, and hopefully I have my voice back by Friday. But I wanted to make sure I still got this show in, took a bunch of notes and wanted to share it. This past week for week six, not my best week in all honesty. Melvin Gordon, not sure what the hell was going on there. Raheem Mostert, Eno Benjamin, those guys did not look great. Christian Kirk had another down week. Drake London, Deontay Johnson, not great. Hayden Hurst, not great. So typically I have, you know, real good success on this show, and I have a pretty high hit rate. Last week, not so much. I did call Justin Fields. I called Breece Hall. I called Devin Singletary. I called Wandale Robinson. I called Zach Ertz, but wasn't as many hits as I'd like. So we're trying to bounce back here. So I, again, apologize for the voice, trying to get through this whole show and give you guys my favorite starts to beat their projections. And I don't want to just list the most obvious guys on this podcast. I want to talk about guys that are not, you know, started in 100% of league. So there might be some more, you know, some more obvious calls here than others. But through the season, I've hit pretty well on guys that were started in like under 30% of league sometimes. So hopefully this is a week I can help you guys win some of your matchups. So for the quarterback position, first one is going to be Tua versus the Steelers. So last time we saw Tua was week four before a scary concussion exit after only 39% of the snaps. QB2 overall in week two, showing us major upside against Baltimore with 469 passing yards and six touchdowns. Six. Not a mark you'll see again this season, but you can't have that touchdown upside in this system. When I talked about Tua as a breakout candidate before the season started, I compared him to Jimmy G in the same McDaniels system that featured pass catchers who will give him pass catching upside due to yards after the catch. Tyreek Hill right now is number four for wide receivers in this category, yards after the catch. Jalen Waddle is number six for wide receivers. He doesn't need to air it out to get those passing yardage numbers attributed to him. These guys are providing a ton after the catch, so that adds to his statistic. He's an accurate quarterback, which we knew, and that's a great tie to guys that provide a ton after the catch. Steelers are number seven right now in points per game to the quarterback position for fantasy, and the third most passing yards per game given up. So let's get Tua back in our lineups where he belongs. Next quarterback on the list here, Matt Ryan versus Tennessee. QB17 on the year. QB2, though, this past week with 27 fantasy points. Week six, he had 389 passing yards and three touchdowns. Can't bank on him throwing 58 times every week like he did in this one, but he did so throwing at a good completion rate of 72.4%. Michael Pittman Jr. had a great game. Paris Campbell stepped up. Alec Pierce has been trending up the last three games. The Titans give up the fourth most points per game to quarterbacks on the year right now and the most passing yards per game through their five games so far. So where Tua might be more widely rostered, Matt Ryan is more of a stream if you're looking for one. And we're missing guys like Josh Allen and Jalen Hurts this week. Shifting over to the running back position, Kenneth Walker versus the Chargers. Honestly, I was not sure what the workload would look like in his first start following the Rashad Penny injury. When he stepped in as the lead in week five, he rushed for 88 yards and a touchdown. In week six, his first full start, he saw 69% of the snaps. Nice. 21 carries for 97 rushing yards, a touchdown, two receptions, 19 fantasy points. If you stashed him, I'm sure the phrase league winner might start flashing in your head. The Chargers give up the fourth most points per game for fantasy to running backs and 10th most rushing yards per game. It's a beauty of a matchup. Nick Chubb for 134 on the ground, Damian Pierce 131, James Robinson and ETN combined for 145 yards. For examples of running backs and what they rushed against the Chargers. Looking like the volume should be good for KW3. If he goes off again this week, he might turn into a must-start running back, like I said last week about Breece Hall. Next running back on the list, I know a lot of people will not love to hear this exactly, but Ezekiel Elliott versus Dallas. Coming off of his best fantasy week of the year with 15.6 fantasy points, it is just the second time he's had 14-plus and the third time he scored 10-plus. He had his best rushing day with 81. Not exactly ideal, and we know Tony Pollard gets some work in this backfield as well. Dak was a full participant at practice as of Wednesday, which was news for the Cowboys. Dallas, I do not believe, has yet to name anybody as the starter, but we're assuming that if Dak is practicing, that he should be back. But I don't expect him to come back in his first week and throw the ball 70 times. So I think I might have mentioned Zeke versus Dallas, but he's on Dallas, but he's playing the Lions here. Lions are one of the juiciest matchups for fantasy running backs, giving up the third most points per game to the position and the most rushing yards per game. Some examples, Ramondre Stevenson for 161, Rashad Penny for 151 and two touchdowns. Dalvin Cook for 96 and a touchdown, which was identical to Miles Sanders' stat line against Detroit. 22 carries in week five, ignite the Zeke eating gif of him with that big spoon and bowl because he is going to eat in week seven against Detroit. Last running back I want to mention, and I've mentioned him a couple times, but I'm going to keep mentioning him because I love what this guy is doing. And that's Ramondre Stevenson versus Chicago. Absolute monster the last two games. If you roster him, seeing him at 90% and 86% of the snaps the last two games with Damian Harris, out has been great as he's given you over 21 fantasy points in both of those games back-to-back weeks. 161 rushing yards week five, two touchdowns in week six. Three out of four of his last games, he's caught four passes. Stevenson is looking like what we wanted Dalvin Cook to look like. Continue riding the wave with Damian Harris out of the mix. Even upon return, though, we saw Stevenson getting more of the snaps. So I'm still likely to play him even when Damian Harris comes back because they both were getting work, but Stevenson was on the field more. My Chicago Bears are number 9 in points per game given up to the running back position, even with them not giving up a ton of total actual NFL points per game. Brian Robinson scored a rushing touchdown last week. Dalvin Cook had 94 and two touchdowns the week prior. Saquon Barkley, 146 on the ground. Damian Pierce, 80 and a touchdown. Aaron Jones, 132 rushing yards and a touchdown, all against the Chicago Bears. Stevenson can also ignite that Zeke gift that I just mentioned earlier. shifting over to the wide receiver position. Alan Lazard versus the Commanders. The Commanders are number 7 in points per game given up to the wide receiver position so far this season. Wide receiver 27 on the year, averaging 14.5 fantasy points, but he's been above that with 16-plus in 3 out of 4 of his last games. 8, 8, and 9 targets the last 3 weeks. Lazard has been a touchdown machine, scoring in all but one of his appearances. So just doing simple math here. We'll keep this, you know, straight to the point. Good fantasy matchup for wide receivers. Plus, him getting quality targets from Aaron Rodgers. Plus, touchdown upside equals him looking like a guy that should be at minimum a flex in your lineup this week. Next wide receiver on the list, Brandon Ayuk versus the Kansas City Chiefs. So the Chiefs give up the 5th most points per game to wide receivers right now, which mirrors them giving up the 5th most passing yards per game. The average Joe assumes a Patrick Mahomes matchup is a shootout, and the defensive numbers here say that it's friendly. Sort of odd splits with Jimmy Garoppolo for Brandon Ayuk. He weeks 2 and 3, he had back-to-back 8 targeted weeks. That's good. Weeks 4 and 5, he had back-to-back 4 targeted weeks. Not as good. Week 6, though, versus Atlanta, Ayuk had a season high of 11 targets, season high of receptions with 8, season high receiving yards with 83, and season high 2 touchdowns in that game. Back to good signs with Jimmy G. Kittle and him had a great week last week. It's going to be needed versus Kansas City, and he's set up to have another flex-worthy week in this matchup. So the next two guys that I want to mention on this list are guys that are deeper potential streams, maybe deeper plays. They're not obvious starts, but I feel like both guys have the chance to have a breakout game any day now. Starting with Nico Collins versus the Raiders. So earlier in this podcast, I said, start Ramondre Stevenson, start Kenneth Walker, and I'm sure they're percents started across leagues are high. So again, I want to talk about some guys that are more of dart throws here, and Nico is one of them. The snap percentage has jumped from 67 to 68 the first 3 weeks to 79 and 81 the last 2 games. Week 2, Nico saw 9 targets, 11 across the last 2 games, 82 and 65 receiving yards in his last 2 outings, 20.5, 27.33, and 16.25 yards per catch the last 3 games. So he has some upside in that category. He's operating as the wide receiver 2 behind Brandon Cooks, and there are signs that if he scores a touchdown or sees a bump in his receptions, he can have a solid week. The Raiders are a top 12 matchup for points per game, given up to wide receivers and 9th in passing yards per game. The one asterisk right now, though, is that he was listed as having minor injuries that have limited him in practice. Any week, though, is going to be the big game that comes for Nico Collins, especially with that yards per catch upside. My bold prediction is that if he's healthy, it is this week. Deeper league suggestion, or if you are in a pinch for a bye, due to a roster bye week, I think Nico can be a good fill-in player. Same sort of category, a dart throw, maybe a little bit more of a deeper league play or a bye week fill-in, but Donovan Peoples-Jones versus Baltimore. Baltimore is number 5 in passing yards per game given up to the, just in general there, as well as being the 4th best wide receiver matchup in terms of points per game. Category similar to last year, and I remember people saying that they were banged up and not to bank on that, but here we are. Knowing this about Baltimore, Amari Cooper would be the obvious play, the obvious answer here, but similar to Nico Collins, any day now could be the Donovan Peoples-Jones breakout. Weeks 1, 4, and 5, Peoples-Jones has seen 11, 9, and 7 targets. 5 last game, but he took 4 of those 5 targets for over 70 receiving yards, which is a category he has previously seen some upside in looking at last season. Two out of three of his games played so far, or I'm sorry, the last two out of three of his games played, he's had 70 receiving yards. So we're looking at a good matchup here. If Lamar Jackson and company have a good game and force Cleveland to rely on the pass instead of relying on Nick Chubb, then we have the potential for a good volume game for DPJ and a flex-worthy play. Voice is still kind of hanging in there, so we got two more guys to talk about, and they're both tight ends. And we are talking about revenge game tight ends only to cap this episode off. Starting off with Evan Ingram versus the New York Giants. So five seasons in New York. Ingram faces his former team who drafted him in the first round in 2017. 16 targets in his last two games combined. Super cool 69 yards week five, and he finished with 12.9 fantasy points in that week. With his usage trending in the right direction and the ESPN 30 for 30 narrative here, revenge game for Evan Ingram, I think he's a good stream versus the Giants, and I think he's going to score a touchdown in this game. Second guy on this list here, Gerald Everett versus the Seattle Seahawks. Maybe not as much of a revenge story because Everett only spent one season in Seattle, and it was last season. He did post career highs in receptions, receiving yards, and receiving touchdowns, which are marks I feel like he's trying to eclipse this year with the Chargers. Everett right now is number five in targets. He's top 10 in air yards, red zone targets, receiving yards, yards after the catch, and touchdowns for the tight end position. He's tight end nine for fantasy on the year. Seattle is the most fantasy-friendly matchup for tight ends this season. I listened to a J.J. Zacharyson episode noting that Seattle specifically, he didn't really talk about Everett, but noting that Seattle specifically is the best matchup. And he even took away Taysom Hill's big day since he's designated as a tight end, but we don't really consider him that. And they still were the best matchup for tight ends. I think Everett can have another big week here. He's had three games above 13 fantasy points, which is plenty useful for a rough position to play each week. So Gerald Everett, it's the best tight end matchup. I think seeing that he's been a good tight end for fantasy this year so far, I like him this week in week seven. So hopefully we got a bounce back week here. I know we had some deeper suggestions here, but it's better to hit on those than the obvious all the time. So if you were able to get through this episode under 20 minutes here, listening to the raspy voice, I appreciate it. I'd rather put out a podcast sounding like shit versus like just not doing it, because I'm all about that motherfucking grind. So thank you guys for tuning in. Good luck with your matchups in week seven. Be sure to check out the Twitter page for a ton of content daily.